Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
I'm just thinking the Commonwealth at this point should say, look, we're going to have a repeat again of the same damn thing. I don't see jurors going in and being any less confused on round 2.
Yeah, I think it's just going to come down to if they're going to do it again, they just got to switch these charges up to something that is prosecution, prosecutable. Mm-hmm. Because it just didn't fit the boxes that they were trying to fit it into. I really think that was part of it. And also, when you have such incompetence again of law enforcement on this one, and their biases, it's very, very hard for prosecution to overcome those people and individuals mm-hmm. involved.
Was there any piece of evidence that you were surprised by in this that the jury was able to, I guess, be that confused on, to say that this truly did not equate to what the evidence actually is?
You know, when I was looking at this, and they're saying that there was issues with the evidence and the complexity of the forensics and stuff, I personally wasn't getting that. But then again, I know I see it through my own optic and lens. Yeah. And so I was having a hard time thinking that. The only parts of it I thought might have been a little bit more like that were the sides of the psychological sides, mm-hmm. And because again, both sides, I think, were really playing to emotions very, very, very largely, I guess I should say. But other than that, the degree of the complexity of the evidence, it looked normal to me, as you normally see in cases. And the only thing I think they could do is when I thought about this and the observations that were being made about this, you really want to use a lot of types of parables and imagery when trying to describe things for people. Mm-hmm. And that's the only thing that you could probably do. Is like, even when I do news things, like the other day I was on News Nation, I was doing a thing with recruiting. Mm-hmm. And they're saying recruiting is down because of X, Y, and Z. And what do they need to do? And I said, well, if people are worried about how people feel when they do something, all you have to do is look at the end result. Instead of saying, hey, it's better if you join the military than just going to college or even just graduated from high school, look at the end result. Here's what a group of graduates look like when they're celebrating graduating from a university. And here's what they look like when they're graduating from a service boot camp. Mm-hmm. You see the elation, the differences. I said, so when I'm saying that our need to feel affiliated, be valued, and connected with others is really, really important for us, it's not one thing to just say it. Here's visually, you can look at how important it is, because mm-hmm. you can see the apples and oranges. The difference here is what I'm showing. And yeah. So the only thing I would say on the evidence, again, long drawn out answer they sometimes give you, but when you're looking at evidence and forensics, if there's any ability to show visually, represents complex things in a visual way for people that can make it more consumable, that's what they could probably do.
Do you think the prosecution failed on that?
Well, obviously they failed on something.
Yeah. I mean, it was very confusing, but there did seem to be some facts in this case that, were somewhat irrefutable. The biggest one that I go back to is the one thing, like, you can't plant this, would be the microscopic pieces of the taillight in John O'Keefe's clothing. That to me is the one where it's not really plantable to make that happen. Mm-hmm. It does kind of answer the question of, well, it looks like something happened there. He did come in contact with his taillight at some point in time. And how on earth would he have come in contact with it unless he was struck? I mean, to get pieces embedded into your clothing, I mean, that takes a little bit of force right there.
So, in cases like that, here's a great example. What would have really been great, and maybe they did do it, we just didn't see it, but I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Doing video reenactments.
Yeah, they did.
They did?
No, they did not.
Yeah, they should. I mean, so you could, those reenactments go so far in doing so many things. You know, like we saw it in the Alec Murdoch case when they brought the jurors to the location where it actually happened. And I know they're tearing down the house where the Koberger, but the Idaho murders happened.
Yeah, it's gone.
Right. But they went in with the 3D cameras in what I'm hypothesizing will be an attempt to recreate the entire imagery of walking those halls, of going up and down the stairs, so they can recreate that for the jurors instead of just saying, hey, here's forensically what we discovered in this place, this place, this place, you know, and showing it on a two-dimensional piece of paper, maybe, you know, actually being immersed in that environment. So those types of things, especially when you're dealing with, you know, again, and I'm on the side of, I get it, you know, that there's piece of taillight embedded in the clothing, but still, how does backing into someone crack that taillight? I want to see that reenactment. Well, how do you shatter a taillight?
Yeah. And the thing is, I mean, people have done them outside of the courtroom. And Coffendaffer was on the air the other day, and she was telling me about how it looks like this could have potentially happened, especially if he was struck in this area of the body, not, you know, the big fleshy watery blob that we all are.
Right. That I hypothesized.
You a little more muscular than me. You have a hell of a lot healthier. So you might crack a tail light easier. But this one, it made more sense where it's like if you're hitting bone against that at that sort of speed, it makes a little more sense in how it could crack or if the glass is there. And the thing is, the area where the embed happened in his clothing was also in an area on the arm, on the sleeve, where if it was a bone straight against a piece of plastic, well, that makes sense how that could have been embedded. Very simple, but I feel like the prosecution just didn't point some of these things out in a very clear or precise way. And that's where I think they created a ton of confusion for the jury where there honestly didn't need to be. Some of these facts could have been laid out a heck of a lot more clear, but they came across as mud.
And I'm a great proof of that because, you know, I hear more details from you on certain things as we're redescribing them every week.
Yeah.
And to that, I think it's fitting the prosecution's behavior arc that they started from the very beginning of lazy convenience.
Yeah.
They did not think this was going to get the kind of scrutiny it did. And so remember, I still think they assigned it out of convenience. They found a convenient scapegoat in Karen Reed, and everyone just can easy, because when things get challenging and difficult and you feeling empowered because of your who you are and the things you've done, you're going to go the easier route than the just route necessarily. And I think when it came down to prosecution, they went an easier route. It took a little bit more effort to describe it visually so that everyone could see it and everyone could lock on him. So here you and I are following this case and I'm still a little over here and you're a little over here on our understanding of exactly what happened. Yeah. And that's because why? They did a horrible job of showing everything.
Yeah. Yeah. At the end of the day, I think that's really what it came down to. I do feel like there's a lot of confusion in this case, no matter any way you spin it, but you didn't have anybody, you didn't have storytellers in here. I mean, other than the defense, which I thought did a wonderful job, but that prosecution didn't seem to understand what page to be reading from as they went about their presentation. It seemed like, oh, we're going to start on page 20. Then it was like a choose your own adventure book almost, where it's like, okay, we're going to go here, we're going to turn here. Oh, I should have done that. I'm going to go back and go over here. And it led to what it led to. It's going to be very fascinating if we do this all over again.
And I think it comes down to drunk people make horrible witnesses.
Yes, I think that's one of the big takeaways at the end of the day on this thing.
Sick of the ads?
We opt to.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.